experience be Jesus and Mary. You know, some commentaries you could have on the Our Father in today's, if you wanted a commentary, which it's been done, St. Teresa of Avila writes, it's over 100, well, it's a little book, you know, probably no more than about, probably about that size. I admit it's probably small print, so it could be a few extra pages if you actually made it bigger print, but it's over 100 pages that she writes just commenting on the Our Father. The Catechism of the Catholic Church would certainly give us a few more pages than that. That's basically gives you the structure of those things that we ought to pray for, more of it saying a kind of a universal type of view in our prayer. And the office has, if you wish something a bit briefer, if you look in the office, from the days that follow these little scripture passages in the readings of the Mass on the Our Father, we start finding short commentaries, as it were, on the Our Father. I think it's by Saint Cyprian, in fact. One of the important parts of prayer, you know, is vocal prayer. This is what the Our Father is. It's a vocal prayer. We have several different vocal prayers that we all know. If we say the Rosary, there's a handful of them there. You get the Creed, you get the Hail Mary, you got the Glory Be, as well as the Our Father. And we know that there's many others. We can have the St. Michael prayer as well, and many others besides. And yet, it's important. It's not to say that vocal prayer isn't important. But of all the prayers that we say, you know, those tears, I'm not, of course, promoting not saying vocal prayers, but they're the lowest. Some people even think, you know, you actually have to hear the prayer. They can't pray without, you know, vocalizing. They can't just pray in their head. I just had a dialogue with someone just recently about that. So I was like, you can actually pray in silence? And I said, yes, in fact, if you want to pray in the chapel while the friars are saying public prayers, you either have to unite with our prayers, or you have to pray silently if you want to do something else. there can't be this cacophony in the chapel. You know, we're going to do the rosary and you're going to say some other prayers, or you're going to say the rosary, it's something different than what we're doing. It's like going to Mass, and you know, you're at Mass and anywhere, and you know, all of a sudden you decide you're going to, you know, start vocally saying the rosary during the Mass out loud. Well, you're going to be told you can't do that. It's just not something you do. But we can pray in silence, in the silence of our heart. But the more important part of vocal prayer is meditation. And this is something, you know, it's one of the things that if we pray the rosary and study the prayer of the rosary, it's a beautiful little book by St. Louis de Montfort, you know, The Secret of the Rosary. And it's a little catechism on really the rosary, you know, in various different aspects. But one of those, one of the things that's brought out in that little booklet is there's an individual who happened to be praying the rosary, and that's all they were doing. They're just saying the vocal prayers without any meditation at all. And Our Lady appeared to him and said, you know, the prayer is very beautiful that you're saying, but it's like a body without a soul. And this is something for us, you know, as we contemplate prayer, especially during our Lenten season, asking our Lord to help us to learn how to pray, to enter into a conversation with God. This is what we're told meditation is. Meditation is really entering into a dialogue, a conversation with God. And it means that it really comes into any type of prayer. We can be doing, you know, spiritual reading. Well, this is a little bit too. This is, you know, we're told this is when God is, that we're speaking to us. We're reading scriptures, lives of the saints, maybe the catechism. This is when God is, as it were, speaking to us. Outside of those times, maybe when we feel that he's given us a little ray of light on something we're doing, it's like, oh, wow, I never hadn't thought of that one. Those things do happen. We realize where God has kind of given us a little guidance. There's a little grace there given to us for a particular instant, you know, something we're going through. He does those things, but he does it also in prayer. Sometimes, I don't know how many times, you know, you get into a quandary, you come into the chapel, as soon as you sometimes put your knees down on the pew and turn to God, you know, with your problem, all of a sudden you've got an answer. And it's like, you know, well, I know that it's not a coincidence to me that the light bulb comes on when you come in front of the true light, that all of a sudden we have a ray of understanding, an answer, if you will, to our problem or difficulty. So, you know, this is one of the parts of, so when we do spiritual reading, say, or if we're praying the rosary, to enter into the mystery. Now, sometimes there's different ways of doing this. One of the Ignatian ways is, they call it, you know, you use your imagination, you know, where you actually kind of paint the picture in your head. So when you're contemplating the rosary, you know, and you're thinking about the Annunciation, you know, you can, we have all the pictures. You can use pictures to help yourself. But you actually, you paint the picture, as it were, in your own mind. And St. Ignatius says you also put yourself there. You're in the picture. You know, you're right there by Our Lady. You know, maybe you're kneeling beside her, behind her or something, and you know, here's this angel coming. Or on the cross, and like St. John, you're standing right beside Our Lady. And St. Ignatius, at one point, they give the whole illustration where he even, you know, he went to the Holy Land, to the different places where Our Lord lived, just so that he could have a more accurate more accurate picture of what our Lord was doing and where he was and the whole environment that he was in. But this isn't quite necessary, but it can be very useful for some people. I'm not promoting that you necessarily jump on a plane and go to Jerusalem and the Holy Land it is something that should be, as Catholics, should be dear to our hearts, though, because it's a place, this is where our Lord stood upon this earth. He didn't come to America. You know, he didn't go all over Europe. He stayed in the Holy Land. And so for us, you know, to go to that place where he actually walked upon the earth to see where our Lord, you know, preached, lived, it can be very, actually, we can learn quite a few things. This is one of the things the saints do tell us. This is one of the reasons why many, a great saint, have gone to the Holy Land. But to enter into these things, you know, with our heart and to dialogue with our Lord, so that our prayer becomes something united to him, so that he can actually teach us and converse with us. And our only last comment with, you know, this whole aspect is, you know, taking from this vocal prayer, also spiritual reading. You know, sometimes in spiritual reading, a meditative spiritual reading is actually to elevate it rather than just reading, you know, and not pausing from time to time. Sometimes there's an inclination from God that we should pause in our spiritual reading, so that we can think about what we've read. So that way it might enter into our heart. How can I apply it to my life? This is where we entered in that dialogue. Maybe we feel grateful for what God has done for us. This is where you take this prayer of the Our Father, and we can meditate on it. To think that, you know, here, you know, this is one of the things you get in the rosary, you know, meditating on the rosary too. You know, you think it just to start with the Our Father. You know, Our Father who art in heaven. I mean, who is this Father who's in? I mean, here it is. God has made himself our Father. Who are we? That he's made us his Father. This is pretty incredible. But one little shepherd, he couldn't get beyond that. You know, he had great difficulty. I won't say he couldn't, but he had great difficulty getting beyond just that thought. He says, who am I? I'm just this little shepherd boy. My house is way down there in the village. I'm nothing. You look out how big our universe is, and God, who cannot be contained, and he's my Father. Wow. That's pretty awesome. And he's always with us, everywhere we are. And we begin to meditate, to realize the greatness, how awesome, how powerful, how majestic God is. So this is a little bit of a meditation. This is how we enter, you know, the prayer becomes something a bit more deep. And it's not just a babbling, a rattling off of words, you know, trying to, as it were, force guess. Sort of like when we're little children, we nag mom and dad. Of course, we get in trouble when we do it. You know, we want something, and you're sitting there, mom, dad, come on, please, huh, come on. You keep it up. I'm going to give you something. This is usually the answer, just in case you thought it was only, you know, this is the common answer in any family. You just keep it up. I'm going to give you something. It's not going to be what you want, but I'm going to give you something. You keep nagging. And so we learn to enter into a real conversation. As we grow up and mature, we begin to learn how to ask. And so, too, begin to learn how to enter into a real conversation, how to ask God for things. And it begins by prayer, a true prayer, with mind and heart united with what's coming out of our lips. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.